Shields up, red alert. Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. Yeah, that was a warning.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to Anomaly. I'm Jen, and in this edition, Angela and I discuss The Measure of a Man, Episode 9, from Star Trek The Next Generation's second season. Before we get to the commentary, I'd like to bring you up to speed on a couple of things. First of all, thank you very much to Rick Moyer, who created this really awesome Anomaly spoof on the Menomina song for the transition between the intro and the commentary. And I wanted to let you know about a guest hosting spot I did with Meds from Waffle on Treks and Sci-Fi. Thought I'd let you know in case you're interested in listening to it. It's a review of a movie called Perfect Creature, which is a weird steampunk, dieselpunk vampire movie. Very fun, and I hope you enjoy it. You can find Treks and Sci-Fi in iTunes, or you can go to our archive. I've got it listed there under appearances on other shows. I'm slowly making the archive easier to navigate. If you're looking for something that Angela and I recorded, you can click on chronological order and see all the episodes that we've recorded for the past 5+ years. They're all listed there. I'm going to continue to work on the archive, so I'll add audio dramas and episodes from other podcasts that have included interviews of Angela and I, so, and also promos and things like that. Speaking of audio dramas, Meds and I have also been cast as recurring characters in a really awesome audio drama series called Novo Babylonia. So I'm playing the kind of a Lois Lane character named Ross Jones. This series is well produced and it's well written, and you should check them out. Just Google Novo Babylonia. That's NovoBabylonia. They also have a Facebook group if you want to join them there. We've just joined the cast, so we're in the last 2 episodes, but you really should start from the beginning because it's kind of like an arcing storyline. Okay, so after our commentary, I'll play listener comments and close the episode with news and scheduling and contact information. Be sure to listen to the credits. We always include promos to cool podcasts. And in this installment, we've included several new shows, one of which is the Novo Babylonia audio drama I was just telling you about. And without further ado, here's our commentary. Enjoy.
Anomaly. 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 Skinny lop bop 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 MMO. But a bop do but I'm up Skyrim. But who bop baby bop civilization. But a bop family the Mass Effect. But who bop do but I'm stupid. I bop bop. Wow. Anomaly. 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 Steampunk? Anomaly. 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 But I bought them. Jen, Angela, Sue, Casey, Sarah, and Margaret, too. Lynn and Kimster, do-do-do. Ooh, what a podcast. Anomaly. Anomaly. Anomaly.
Anomaly.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I felt it necessary to teach my son the difference between an airplane and a starship. So I did. And I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and Data makes me a little over-emotional, just like an original print of the Gutenberg Bible makes me really excited, and I am an anomaly.
Today we're talking about...
A Measure of the Man.
Your most favoritest episode ever, which we've been trying to schedule for the past 5 years since we've been podcasting.
I think Time Zero is probably my favorite episode, really had to rank them. But it's hard. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
You know, because this is a different type of episode.
True.
And I like it for different reasons. So, I don't know. It's hard because time travel, you know, time travel is kind of my favorite genre. But Measure of a Man is my favorite episode. And, like, I kind of listened to it on Netflix just a few minutes ago while I was doing something out at work. I was, like, crying the whole time, like a freaking girl. And, yeah, and I definitely think that, like, moment to moment, there's no lull in the goodness of the episode. Like, there's something fun and meaty in the whole episode.
Be forewarned, there will be spoilers, and if you want to watch
a 25-year-old show.
Yeah, if you want to watch this show, it's from
season two,
and it's episode 9 of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Because Pulaski's on there, that's how you know.
Pulaski.
Pulaski doesn't bother me.
You were really bothered by her when we did
I hate her in Ship of the Bottle. But she doesn't bother me in this episode because she's, like, come around.
And this episode.
Which, let me clarify.
If you're interested in hearing our other Star Trek episodes, they're all in our archive, and we've done quite a few. I think this is
we like Star Trek.
Yeah,
it's part of our
six.
One of our things that we like. Do you want to hear my story about the Gutenberg Bible?
Yes, please clarify.
I got reprimanded. We went to, everybody knows we're in Texas. When I was in grad school, we went to the UT library. And first of all, they have an excellent, like, theater collection. You can see, like, everything from an original headshot of Christopher Walken, which is kind of cool. And then they have, like, a clean room where they have original Shakespeare folios and stuff like that. And one of the things they have on display in this, like, center, and I don't remember exactly where it is at UT, and it may not be there. It may have been something that was touring around at the time. It was an original print of the Gutenberg Bible. You know, that's super history right there. That's, like, super history. And I get excited about that kind of stuff in the same way that, you know, someone else would get excited about candy or a new boy band. And so when we got into the museum, and we were there after hours, it was kind of a cool thing my professor did, and I, like, dropped my backpack and ran to go see it, and she was like, Angela, we're in a museum. Please calm down.
Calm down.
But I'm excited. I want to see the Bible. It's very exciting. Anyway, because that's just an anomaly thing. Most people would run to see something not an original print of the Gutenberg Bible. So there you go.
Cool.
But it was really cool. It's huge. And I think it's only, like, 2 books or something. Like, yeah. It's in several volumes. If you've ever seen one, it's pretty neat. Anywho, go ahead.
Awesome. This episode was one of the most well-written, well-acted episodes in all of Star Trek, in my opinion.
I think so. I think that's true.
And it's classic Roddenberry.
Oh, yes.
You know, bringing up the important question of what is sentience?
Yep. What are rights?
What are rights? Is a machine that's quote-unquote sentient property?
Is anything property?
Right. Really,
what, like, defines that?
Should we give people, like, an overall premise of the episode if they haven't
seen it? Well, first of all, top 3 villains of Star Trek. I'm going to put Bruce Maddox.
Commander Maddox.
Commander Maddox. I'm going to put him at the top
yeah,
3.
I agree.
Top 3 villains.
I agree. And he has kind of this weird interest in Data that almost borders on fetish. Some of his...
I agree. It's
some
creepy.
Some of the looks on his face and just invading his privacy and coming into his quarters and looking through his things. And whenever Data says something flattering, he kind of gets all flustered and I don't know.
But to be fair, I think they did well casting and the guy did well acting the part. Yeah. But he is just kind of creepy. Like you said, it's just so well written because even at the beginning when they come in and the Admiral... It sets up the whole tone when the Admiral's like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to come take one of your commanders and take him apart. See ya.
Well, does he have a choice? Yes, he could resign.
It was just that moment where he's like, yeah, see you later. Thanks. Yeah. Nice to see you. We're going to enslave one of your crew. Bye. Call you later. And then, oh, we get introduced to Philippa. This is her only episode. I wish they would have done something with that. Because I really like her. Because I'm not a fan of, like, anybody that has, like, even a remote love interest with Picard, except for Beverly. But I almost wish they would have kind of brought her back because she's interesting and fiery.
I know. And like her. We had a Netflix watching party last night.
You did.
On Skype with Rick Moyer, Sue, and Lynn.
I'm so sad I had to work.
I know. I wish you could have made it. But one of the points brought up was that Philippa Lavoie reminded Rick Moyer of you because one scene where she tells Picard, "It brings a sense of order and stability to my universe to know you're still a pompous ass and a damn sexy man." He thought that.
That's something I would say.
Yes, I agree.
Well, and you know, for the 5 minutes that I was interested in doing an RPG, that I based my character on her.
I brought that up, yeah.
I based my character on her, so I think what she's doing is noble, and I like her no-nonsense attitude.
Yes.
There has been a time in my life where I've considered lawyering because I like reading and I like getting people on things. Meh. The adversarial process is important. I really do like the court system. Mm-hmm. There's some times when it's not fair to people, but I like how it's set up because I think that it's meant to be as fair as it can possibly be. I don't think any system is infallible, but I think we try. And I think that any lawyer, judge, or anybody in the field who's of a good heart can use the laws and, you know, you use them in the right spirit. That's one of the points of the episode, too, is that using the law in the right spirit, that common sense and good will finally prevail, I think. And it did. Yeah. And I like how, do you want to, like, go through the episode or just kind of talk about...
Sure.
Because I was just going to skip to the end, but go ahead and...
It seemed like at first that Picard really didn't think it would be a big deal.
You know,
he just kind of like, well, you know, it's what Starfleet wants. And then Data makes the point of telling Picard he doesn't want to, A. And B, Geordi's eyes are superior to biological eyes.
Mm-hmm. Geordi's eyes are superior.
Yeah.
So why isn't it that all of Starfleet is forced to have cybernetic implants.
Right.
Because if it's superior, then might as well do
it. Yes, and Picard, you can just see the
wheels
turning.
Yeah.
This was wrong, and then Data had the right to refuse to be a part of the experiment.
Yeah.
Because it was dangerous. There
was
a possibility that Data could be lost.
He also had a problem with it because the guy just was not up to par. And I think that when he said it, it came across kind of pompous, but he was just saying, you know, you really don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to take me apart so you can see if you can figure it out. I mean, I don't think that somebody who didn't really know how a starship went together would be allowed to take apart and reverse engineer the starship if it was like the flagship.
Yeah.
Even if you look at it from a completely like technological and not about the like the rights issue, but Data would brought that up.
He is the only android in existence.
Yeah.
And you want to deconstruct him and see how he works.
With
the possibility that he could, you know, never function again.
And then you'll never know.
Right.
So, like, it's almost
it's
bad for everyone. And you could tell, like, he's on that kind of, like, a weird Moby Dick mission. Commander Maddox is just on this, like,
obsession.
He's so obsessed with this and making it happen that he doesn't really think about those things. But that's what's kind of interesting about it. I'll tell you also how I get emotional about this episode. One of the first things that makes me emotional is what you said about Geordi, when he talks about Geordi's eyes. And the second thing is when the captain does decide to challenge, you know, the motion, because she rules that he is property and he challenges it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decide that Riker has to be the prosecutor. When Riker does his lines about how, you know, he just doesn't believe it, but they're like, well, you either do this or, you know. And then that's something that comes up again later, that at the end when everything works out, that Data, you know, thanks him. And he's like, well, you know, it even upsets me when he does well. I mean, because Riker, and he that was a good choice to have him do it.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's all just very interesting.
I think that it was an excellent choice to have Picard and Riker have to defend.
Yeah.
And also to... make the point for Maddox that Data should be disassembled because, I mean, the JAG office, they didn't have staff, so that's why they took over those roles. But Riker is so, you know, obsessed with doing his duty that he's perfect to make the argument for Maddox. You see the expression on his face when he finds that thing that he could use to win, the expression on his face is like, yes. And then he goes, damn.
Yeah.
A man created you, and now a man will turn you off. Pinocchio's strings have been cut. He was always kind of referred to as Pinocchio.
Yeah, and that's important because...
from the beginning of the series.
Yes. And I think that's important because this seems to be one of the, not high points, but a major turning point of Data's story arc for the whole seven seasons for him. And so I think that definitely had to be mentioned. That was really important. Of course, then the other part that gets me upset is Picard's, when he talks to Guinan.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to love Guinan. You know, she's written so well, and Whoopi Goldberg does her so well. But I just love how she's not trying to convince anybody anything. Mm-hmm. She's just kind of like...
The universe is full of disposable creatures, that people have always used people, and they don't think about their welfare or their feelings, and just kind of use them and get rid of them. And to imagine a whole race of Datas used for that purpose. And she doesn't say slaves, but it clicks in Picard's mind that's what she's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, that was the turning point for him in the argument, you know, making the point that basically what Maddox would be doing is making a race.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then if exploiting them.
Yeah.
Because Maddox wants to put a Data on every ship in the Federation.
Right.
And use them for dangerous missions because they're disposable. Right?
Yeah. The best part of the whole show is
Picard's argument.
Yeah. Where he says, our mission is to seek out new life. Well, there it sits.
Yes.
That
was a powerful line. That he also says, you know, children are created by their parents. Are they property? And then he asks, why is he sentient? Why am I sentient? And they can't answer that. No one can. Can you prove that someone has a soul? No. No. You just feel it, whether you believe in that or not. And there's just no way to really definitively prove anything.
And that's why I kind of like when she did her ruling and she was talking about it and she goes, well, you know, this is the thing we've been dancing around, the fact that does Data have a soul? And she said, I don't know if he has. I don't know if I have.
Right. Well, the one thing that I don't agree with her on is that where she goes, these are questions better left to saints and philosophers. As far as the law is concerned, she's right. The law shouldn't be defining that point. But for each individual, I think.
You know, supposed to rule on something. Yeah, so she doesn't say he does have a soul. She is speaking on behalf of the law, saying that he has the right to find out.
Right.
Just like all of us do. And that's what she's saying, is that the law can't say that. Philosophers and saints are the ones she's saying to answer the question of whether anyone has a soul.
Yeah.
Whether it's Data or you or me or any or themselves. And that's what she was saying. I don't think she was saying that they're the only ones who can tell, but that she's saying that she can't.
And I love the scene where he's packing the things that are most important to him.
I know.
And then they're used in the hearing to prove that he's more than a machine. The little hologram of Tasha Yar that is shown is very moving, especially if you were watching the series from the beginning and were attached to her and you knew their story and you see that, you know, meant something to him. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very cool scene. My sister had been watching Star Trek The Next Generation. She's not a science fiction fan, but this episode she really, really enjoyed a lot. I think it was that connection between Tasha and Data that really resonated with her.
Well, there was only one thing I didn't like. It's not that I didn't like it, but I think it was like a line that was a convention of the 80s, like the very last line of the episode, I think, where he's talking to Riker, and they have that cool scene where Riker's like, you know, I argued too well, and I feel like you almost lost because of me. And Data's like, if I understand correctly, if you wouldn't have done that, then I would have been on a chopping block somewhere, so you injured yourself.
For me,
and I won't forget that. Also, that makes me cry,
too. That was a really good scene.
But then it kind of ruins it, and I think, again, this is like a convention of the 80s, like, sum up thing where he's like, with your help I'm learning. I'm like, oh,
and I can be a wise
just why
man.
Couldn't we just
leave it there,
just leave it at that other line, just like one line early, and then the whole, and I was just like, all right, lame 80s TV. But that's not their fault,
right?
They didn't know.
Now if he had said that to Picard, I would have been able to stomach it a little better than if he had said it to Riker.
No, it was that he said it at all. No.
Because Picard is wise, and Data is learning from Picard.
But he's learned, he doesn't learn anything from Riker?
Well, he's learning, but I wouldn't say that wisdom is one of those things he's learned from Riker.
But he's learning from, I think he's saying he's learning from everybody.
Right.
He's learning from all the humans around him how to be human.
I'm just saying that if the scene hadn't included Picard, and he had said that to him, even though it was a lame line, I would have been able to stomach it better because I consider Picard to be wise. So, that's all I'm saying.
Hmm. Okay. Sure. Yeah, but it's a really cool episode. I enjoyed watching / listening to it.
Me too.
Bruce Maddox, top three.
Top three bad guys of Star Trek.
It is kind of creepy. He is kind of creepy. You know why he wants to do it so bad? He wants to create himself a girlfriend, I bet.
A robot girlfriend.
He wants to learn the android way. So he can create himself a girlfriend.
You mean
I'm just saying, look
man.
At him. He doesn't look like he's like too lucky with the ladies.
No. Probably not.
But he does have that weird look, that weird stare. Creeps me out. Anyway. And Dr. Pulaski, it's interesting that was one of the things. What episode was it? When she first, I think the beginning of season 2 when she kept calling Data it.
Yeah.
And Data.
Data.
and he's like,
my name is Data.
She's like, well, who cares? It doesn't matter.
Data,
you're a machine,
data,
dude.
Whatever.
And so this is kind of that episode where it's the flip because she's obviously on the other side.
Yeah. Whenever Riker was making his arguments, he didn't refer to Data as he or Data. He started calling him it. And I don't know
if it was argument, contrived.
I see him doing his job well and doing what he had to do, but using the term it, I don't know that was necessary.
You know, I think it was because of Philippa. She made it clear that if she thought for a second that he was doing anything to throw the match, that
she would just rule in
that
favor
she would
of
just
that.
Rule in favor of what's his face. So he had to bring his A game, and that's bringing his A game. However, did you notice when he takes his hand off, he apologizes to him?
Yeah.
Under his breath.
Right. In our watching party that we had, Sue, I think it was, brought up a really good point about Picard's heart being mechanical.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't know
if it had
really
happened, if this episode had happened before the episode where we learned that Picard has a mechanical heart, you know,
how would
that have influenced Picard's defense of Data? And could he have made the argument of, why don't you just take my heart out of my chest? It's mechanical. You know, that kind of point would have been interesting.
I agree. Mm-hmm. However, I think we might be getting into comic book guy territory here, because I think that as awesome as I think Star Trek is, Tapestry is from season 5. I may be wrong, but I seriously doubt anybody quote unquote knew that Picard had.
Oh, well, we weren't sure. At the time, we couldn't remember when Tapestry aired.
Oh,
so
sorry.
I think she was thinking it was season 2.
Oh, no, Tapestry season 5. Or 6, actually.
Or okay.
I think it's season 6.
Yeah, I think
6.
You're right.
It's
way further on.
Another good episode we should do.
Excellent episode.
Oh, I love that episode. I made Jim watch it the other day. And, oh, what a good episode. So funny. Anyway, so I think it's one of those things where, yes, I do think that is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And had it been closer, it may have been more interesting, but I don't think it was even conceived in the minds of the writers when this happened.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
In retrospect, it's interesting, but gosh, it is really cool to watch him get a... Oh, he's so good.
One thing that Patrick Sue Stewart. Brought up, and I'm thinking that you would probably really like, is when Picard says, Do you, you know, he's asking him if they knew if they were sentient or if they had a soul. And she was saying that that was very theatrical, that the threes, what do you call that, the rule of three?
The rule of threes,
yeah,
yes.
That was
making
very,
triangles.
That was very Shakespearean of him to do
to be in that round. Yeah, that is interesting that's in the round. I'm sorry, I just had a like tangent in my head, so apologies. Go ahead.
That's it. That's all I wanted to say that.
I wouldn't tell the story even if you don't use it, but... totally off topic that you say that about, like, and the scene was even set up like a theater in the round, that I overheard a conversation where somebody was telling, like, somebody who wasn't in theater, nothing about theater, I think it was like at a birthday party I was at recently, and they were talking about how, well, and of course it's Texas, there's this theater in Houston, and the play's in the middle, and then all the people sit around it, and they and they do the acting to all the sides. And I was like, oh. I was just thinking, theater in the round? Yes, it's like an actual form of theater. It's a, never mind. I didn't say anything, but it was just like, they were telling like their friend about it. Like, yeah. And I overheard the conversation. And it was like my father-in-law or like a cousin. Anyway, yeah. It wasn't my father-in-law because he would know. But anyway, it was just really funny to me to like hear, like, me being a theater historian, mm-hmm. like hear lay people talking about this cool new invention from Roman times, you know, well, not Roman, but you know what I mean. It's just, right. It was funny, like, oh, and it's, you know, all the people sit around and then the play is in the middle and it's so weird and new.
The Globe Theater.
Well, the Globe Theater is more of proscenium and thrust, but, mm-hmm. Renaissance Festival's building a globe.
Awesome.
Have you seen it? They've been putting it on. You need to start following them on Facebook.
I am following them on Facebook. I just don't.
They're good. They about doing stuff all year. Yeah. And they're building a.
That's great.
A globe. I don't know if they tore anything down.
Are they going to be doing Shakespeare? Because that's very appropriate.
That would be appropriate, but I don't know what they're going to use it for. Right. I think it might be a music venue because mm-hmm. usually because of the nature of Renaissance Festival, the shows themselves are kind of. Quick, you
right.
know, it's no more than like 30 minutes per show, right. And so I doubt they would do, but they might do scenes or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I mean, they'd have to do something,
right?
Anyway, so that's very cool. Little update on Texas Renaissance Festival. So if you've never seen the episode, gosh, do it now. Just go watch it. Even if you've never watched Star Trek, this is an excellent episode to watch.
Great intro to Star Trek, and like we said, it's
always
very Roddenberry because. Star Trek has been accused of being intellectual,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's what I like about it, though, because you can go watch any science fiction flick, and it could have aliens in it and spaceships, and I love storytelling that has a theme
mm-hmm.
that teaches us a lesson. I like that they're trying to deliver the argument in story.
Or just the fact that they're asking the question, because the... art does not necessarily have to answer questions. It just has to ask them.
That's true.
And get people talking about it. And that is interesting and that is good. And I like how, like I said, in her final speech, she talked about how I'm not making a judgment. There's no judgment to make. It's not mm-hmm. for me to make. It's about what do you think? And that's good. I really like, obviously, we both really love these things.
Yeah.
And I had another thing to say. Oh, that I watched a Roddenberry documentary a couple months ago, and it was talking about how the writers had a really hard time with Next Generation because they were told by Roddenberry he did not want any conflicts between the main characters. And that's pretty much how you write television.
Right.
And so he was like, nope. And that's how TOS was, is, you know, you had conflicts between McCoy and Kirk and Spock. And they just said, nope. You know, and if you think about it, when you start watching them again, you realize that very rarely... are there conflicts between characters. You have like a little bit of love interest and you might have, but even like, you know, when Worf starts dating Troy and Riker's obviously a little upset,
cool about it.
He's still like way too Saved by the Bell cool about it. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, that was my girlfriend. Oh, well. But they do finally get married and that always makes me happy. So anyway,
Riker
and Troy. They had to think of these other types of stories, and this is the kind of story that you get, which is amazing. And that's why Roddenberry's so good.
Yes.
Heard he was a jerk, but...
A womanizer.
A womanizer and a jerk, but that he definitely does good storytelling. So.
Yes.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Yeah, I think we're done.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Anomaly Podcast. This is Jen.
And this is Angela. Wait.
Okay.
You
messed it up.
You messed it up.
I did. Okay. This is Jen.
And this is Angela. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast,
where female and fandom converge.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com.
Greetings, Anomaly Nation. This is Noah, the Film Ninja, here to comment on Measure of a Man. Jen asked for some comments, and, well, being somewhat new to the realm of Trekker, I didn't know off the top of my head which episode this was, so I hit up my Netflix and took another look to see which episode it was, and once I did, I remembered this as being one of my really favorite episodes in all of TNG for a couple of reasons. First, it's a Data-centric episode, and Data was my favorite character from TNG. I'm sure I'm not alone in that sentiment. I also liked the introduction of Captain Philippa Louvois, who played the adversarial and potentially romantic interest to Picard. both French names, both captains. This is the season where Crusher is off the cast, but alas, we never see her again. There's so much to like about this episode, starting at the beginning where the characters sit around playing poker, which of course have become a traditional element of TNG, to the subtle nuances that Riker has when preparing his defense, as he sees that Data has an off switch and grins, knowing that's the linchpin to his case, then realizing what that means for Data and falling into a melancholy. Then we have that great little conversation between Picard and Guinan in 10 Forward about how we tend to see others as somehow less than human, leading to the courtroom scene where Picard establishes his badassness, really for the first time, if you ask me. Every moment of this episode is good, all the way to the final scene where Data goes to get Riker for his celebration and lets him know he appreciates everything that he had to go through and suffer for to ultimately help his friend. This episode goes beyond questions of whether or not Data has a soul. It goes into the heart of human nature. We have to look inside ourselves to see if we've judged someone as less than human because of their race, religion, sexuality, political stance, or any other myriad number of criteria that we use to judge others. It's one of those rare episodes of any television series that really stands out and forces you to pay attention. So it is definitely one of my favorites. Well, folks, that's it from this ninja. Can't wait to hear the episode, ladies.
To find the Anomaly recording schedule, blog Geek Emporium, and fan forum, visit anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com.
Hello, Jen and Angela. This is Andrew Gilbertson, and when I heard that you were soliciting comments for Measure of a Man, I could not resist calling in. I know I am on the extreme minority on this, but I hate Measure of a Man. I loathe it. I detest it. I think it is one of the stupidest episodes of TNG ever made, next to Up the Long Ladder, which just takes stupid to a whole new level. Measure of a Man, I understand what they were trying to do, but they did it so illogically. This woman, this Judge Advocate General, Louisa, I can't be bothered to remember her name, frankly. She annoys me so much because nothing that she does can possibly be legal. She's basically ruling based on her personal bias with Picard. She literally says, you know, if you don't take the defense so that we can settle this right now and not wait for another lawyer to come in on the next starship in several months, I'm just going to summarily rule against you. That's not the function of a judge. That's the function of someone with a personal bias that wants to get a problem out of their hair and not really deal with it. Well, then, frankly, she should be drummed out of Starfleet. Find someone that wants to do their job. And all of the arguments made in this episode are just completely illogical. Even if you were to argue that Data is an object and not a person, Starfleet doesn't own him. They didn't build him. They found him, but they never claimed salvage rights. So even if he is property, he's not their property. They never had any claim to him in the first place. And the entire argument should be moot because he still was granted admission to Starfleet Academy and graduated. Even if he does not have any rights as a person, I would think, not knowing Starfleet's legal system, if, you know, the Judge Advocate General we see here is exemplary of the typical, maybe it's just so screwed up I cannot comprehend it, but you'd think that he would have rights as an officer, at the very least, that would preclude this kind of report for disassembly, whether he's a person or not, which, yes, I know they wanted to actually settle the issue, but you'd think that they could have bypassed, in quote, real life, the entire argument with that line of reasoning. And even once Riker comes in to start making his arguments, the arguments are completely illogical. He argues that Data is stronger and capable of greater physical feats than any human. Well, guess what? So can Worf. So can Dr. Sylar. So can any alien aboard the Enterprise that has a strength greater than human norm. What kind of weird, speciesist, illogical argument is that? Later, he turns Data off and... Hi, Jen and Angela. Andrew again. I seem to have gone slightly over my allotted time. I was going to finish the thoughts that I had in case you wanted to use it, then you could grab it and splice the two together. And if you don't, because it's so long or you just don't care what I have to say, that's totally fine. But here's the rest of that, you know, just in case you do want to use it. Then later, he shuts off Data and removes his arm and says, this is evidence that Data is a machine. Well, I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure that if you were to shoot anyone with a phaser on stun and render them inactive, you could achieve the same result. What proof of that is of whether someone is alive because they can be rendered incapacitated? In fact, in the sixth season episode of Schisms, Riker himself is abducted by aliens, rendered unconscious, and has his arm surgically removed and then reattached. Does that make him non-sentient? That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard. In fact, nearly all of Riker's arguments seem to be that, oh, Data is different from humans. Well, guess what? So are plenty of other aliens. And even the ways in which he's different from humans are really only because of very narrow context that, if looked at broadly, the whole thing just doesn't hold water. I understand. They were trying to explore what is life. What does it mean to be alive? Does Data qualify? Issues of slavery. I understand that they wanted to explore these things. I just feel that they went about it in a terrible manner that just holds up under no logical scrutiny. Perhaps if it had been, say, an alien court, not unlike the cues from Encounter at Farpoint, there would at least be a case for why they would have to go through all these things and deal with such illogical arguments. As it stands, I can't get into the episode because I'm too busy thinking of all of the ways that it just makes no sense that things had to happen like this, all of the ways that they could have avoided it. Much like, you know, when Kirk dies in Generations and Picard could have gone back to, oh, a few days before, or stopped Soren on the Enterprise B anywhere but like 5 minutes before the end of the world. Why would you pick that time to go? Anyway, and in fact, it even gets compounded a bit more in The Offspring, which I'm sorry, another episode I hate, because what, did they just learn completely no lesson? We're just going to do the whole thing all over again? Did this whole court case mean nothing? It just seems crazy that we would do the same thing twice, once again, on the same argument. In what way does Starfleet have a claim to this, quote, property, even if it is property? It just doesn't work for me, and that is why I don't like The Measure of a Man. It's a good idea, but the execution is just so illogical and full of plot holes and Yeah, I know, take three. This is par for the course for me, actually, whenever I'm leaving email feedback, or voicemail, I should say. What can I say? I'm long-winded. Conclusion, again, in case you want it. So that is really why I do not like The Measure of a Man. It's an intriguing premise, and they were trying to do some interesting things with it, but the execution was just so illogical, full of plot holes and inconsistencies that, frankly, should have allowed the whole issue to be bypassed, that I really can't get into what they're trying to do, and it just makes me angry at Starfleet for, well, even if Data is property, they're basically trying to steal him because they have no claim on him, and there are just so many ways that they could have avoided this argument in the first place, and even with Riker's prosecution, I just have to hope that he's doing his best to secretly put up a really shoddy prosecution, because none of his arguments make any sense. It just, once again, annoys me that the judge actually gives them any credence in the first place, because, I'm sorry, a five-year-old could see the illogic of Riker's argument, but apparently this particular judge advocate general just doesn't have the intelligence of a five-year-old. So, yeah, you've probably recorded some sort of a glowing commentary, and I sound like a complete idiot, but frankly, that's the way I've always felt about The Measure of a Man. Probably about the only person on Earth that does. Great show, as always, and look forward to hearing the episode when it comes out.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
Hi, Anomalies, it's Casey. I heard that you needed some feedback for your episode on Measure of a Man, which is one of my all-time favorite Star Trek The Next Generation episodes. Data is my favorite character in the entire Star Trek universe, hands down. Apart from time travel, my favorite story idea in terms of science fiction is anything relating to robots, artificial intelligence, androids, anything Isaac Asimov could possibly come up with. But more importantly, I like the idea that these man-made machines can develop a consciousness and evolve into sentient beings, which is also one of the big reasons I love stories like Battlestar Galactica. The whole script is just fantastic. I honestly don't think you'd find anything better in terms of this subject in any other science fiction territory. That's all I got for you, really. So, looking forward to hearing the episode, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye!
Anomaly. Do, 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 do. Anomaly. Do, 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 do. Anomaly. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Wow. Oh, boy.
Hello, ladies. This is Meds from Waffle On Podcast, and a typical cast, and of course, from the Anomaly forums. You're doing the Measure of a Man TNG episode. I adore this episode. I think it's absolutely fantastic. It's so well wrote. And it's the episode that, you know, you suddenly realize, as of course the story is about, is how human like actually Data is, because, you know, he's desperate to be more like his fellow crewman, and he suddenly gets challenged by this guy called Maddox to basically take him apart. It's an episode basically about human rights and how ultimately Data wants to become more human, finally succeeds, or almost, purely by Riker's prosecution. It's a great end line when Data cheers his friend up, because it can't have been easy for Riker to have had to stand there and prosecute, and Picard defending. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. Maddox is a squirmy old piece of work, let's face it. But, you know, ultimately, at the end, when he calls Data he instead of it, you know, you kind of like think, yeah, you know, this has worked. It's one of those episodes as well in which TNG did so well that brought out thinking. You know, it made you think about the episode, and it also made you think about what else goes on in the world, especially in repressed countries. Where human rights basically don't exist, and people in charge can just come along and say, yes, we own you, and this is what we want to do. It's an interesting story as well, of course, with the saying that Starfleet owns Data. You know, no organisation should own anybody. It's a brilliant episode. I really do enjoy it. I can't wait to hear your thoughts upon it, and I'm really looking forward to downloading it. Anyway, take care, and look forward to hearing the show. Bye.
I tell you, when you got a scratch, that's when you can't. The smelly hippie is right.
My hands can touch everything but themselves. I think there was something in that hippie.
Hi, Angela. How are you all? Jen, how are you? This is Rick Pete, and I wanted to leave my message about the episode, The Measure of a Man. 2 minutes. This is hard to sort of condense in 2 minutes, and I'm going to give it a shot. I love this show. I think that anytime you can combine a morality play with a spotlight on relationships, you're going to come out with a winner, and I really felt that this show was very well written, very well done. Certainly, as a minority who can sympathize with that sense of hopelessness that comes from feeling that you've got no power over your own destiny. I certainly, you know, felt for Data and you know, his circumstances in this episode. Again, I like the relationships. I did not particularly like Maddox, but I like the way he was portrayed. And, you know, I like the way that Guinan led Picard to an understanding that this is about property. And it was about disposable creatures that could do the things that were too difficult or hazardous for humans to do. You know, and Picard figuring out that, hey, this is really about slavery. You know, what if we make hundreds or thousands of androids? Is that a race? And wouldn't we be judged by how we treat that race if we reduce that race to servitude and slavery? I loved his line, the Starfleet was founded to seek out new life. Well, there it sits. And the decision that Philippa made that, I don't know if he has a soul, but we have to give him the freedom to explore that for himself, and we give him the right to choose, the freedom to choose. That was awesome. The requirements for sentience was cool, but I think the whole issue around his freedom to choose, I think, was really key. The only one small conceit for the episode was, how can Data be considered the property of Starfleet when Starfleet didn't create Data? Soon created Data. And the fact that he signed up to join Starfleet Academy hardly makes him the property of Starfleet. So we got to give them that conceit. But other than that, I thought the episode was well done. It certainly got my emotions going and feeling for Data as the process of the trial pursued. And I was happy for the result. So anyway, thanks for doing this episode. And as always, rock on, girls. Talk to you later. Bye.
Angela and Jen want to hear from you. Call 432-363-4742 and leave them a message.
Hi, ladies. This is Rick Moyer from Aberdeen, Washington. One of your fans. I love listening to the Anomaly podcast. You guys are awesome. Love all the different things that you put out there for us. Very cool. And love the information. It's very, very awesome. So you are covering, or have covered by this time probably, Measure of a Man, the TNG episode, where Commander Maddox wants to take apart Data to see how he's made. And wow, what a cool episode. One of the best, I think, of all time from TNG. And I liked most of their stuff a lot. I mean, I've listened and watched so many of the episodes, it's not funny. Amy can guess now the plot. That's how much I've watched Next Generation. But this in particular touched on a couple of heartstrings for me. One, the whole idea of Data being property or being free to choose what he would like to do with his life. Thought that was really a cool subject. I like the fact that they go to the starbase. That's always cool to see something just a little bit out of the element. Even though they were on the ship for part of it, they were on quite a bit of the time. They were on the starbase, which was great. Loved seeing the admiral or the judge advocate general. Is that how you say it? I knew it 2 seconds ago. Anyway, that was really cool to see her. And of course, she had a past relationship with Picard with the Stargazer situation, so that was really cool. Get a little more insight into Picard's character, and you see the desperation and the compassion that Picard has for Data. And you really want to see Data succeed in this whole thing. And of course, what a great trial courtroom stuff, you know, with Picard in his full "the line is drawn here" kind of, you know, times, even though he didn't say that in this episode. But classic line in the episode, I thought, was Riker when he says, "And Pinocchio's strings are now cut," and shuts Data off. That's pretty wild. Pretty cool. So, great episode. Love it. Give it 5 stars out of 5. That's how good I liked this episode. It was really, really cool. How good I liked it. How well I liked it. This isn't Grammar Police, is it? Anyway, ladies, thanks for everything you do. Star Trek rocks, and so do you, ladies. Have a great day, and thanks for playing and reviewing one of my favorite Star Trek episodes ever.
Hey, did you like this episode? Did you like the episode the other month, or the other week, or the one from last year even, because we've been going an awful long time? If you do, then phone us on 432 363 4742 and tell us what you think. Of course, be interesting if you can. Don't be one of these people who just phone up and leave really long pauses, or you just drone on and on and on, because who wants to listen to that? I don't, and I'm having to read this message. So go on, phone us up. See if you can do better than what I can. See, I'm very good, kind of. Well, I'm not really. I'm having to do it for food and shelter, because they keep poking me with sticks, the women at Anomaly. They do. They make me do these things. They make me sit here in front of this microphone, and they beat me. So please phone up on 432 363 4742 and help me.
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems. Why don't somebody solve them?
Thank you to Rick Moyer, Andrew, Casey, Rick Pete, Meds, and Noah for your excellent comments. Whether you agree with us or not, love or hate the television show, it doesn't matter. We love hearing your comments. If you have comments on this episode or any of our other episodes, please call us. We'd love to include your voice as well. Call 432-363-4742, or you can send your own recordings to girlygeeks@gmail.com. And while you're at it, just shoot us a little email saying, "Hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm listening, how are ya?" We like reading those too. We're finally going to be recording our Hunger Games Roundtable, so look for that. I also want to mention that Sarah from Anomaly Supplemental did an excellent review of Babylon 5 Season 2 that you should check out. It was uploaded just before this one, and there was some technical difficulties with the audio. I apologize if you listened to it the first time through and it was all left channel and too quiet. Sarah didn't realize that that was a problem, and I had her fix it, and I updated the file. So if you started listening to it and stopped listening, download it again because it's fixed now. Sarah also joined Casey in a review of The Avengers, which we'll be putting up right after this episode. And I think Angela wants to do a review also. She and I may be doing a mini skirt at some point after I've seen the film, because I haven't seen it yet. You know, it's logistics. That's all it is. It's not because I don't want to watch the movie. Please visit our forum. Hang out with us on Facebook. Angela is very active on Facebook, and that's where a lot of people learn about the episodes we're doing and where we post requests for comments on television episodes and things like that. And I hope you'll sign up for our newsletter. We have been sending that out once a month. I'm kind of behind on it this month. It updates you on the latest blog postings, which we have a new staff writer. Her name is Lynn. Sue and Casey and Sarah are also posting there. Anne has been on hiatus, but she's going to be returning soon. We also invited several guest writers to write for us. So if you're a blog person, go swing over and subscribe to our blog as well. And that newsletter, like I said, I post updates to it, letting you know that, you know, there's a new blog post or some conversation that's really interesting on the forum or upcoming episodes of Anomaly. Go to our website and subscribe to that so you can stay up to date. If you can spare a dollar or so, we would love a donation. All of the money that we make from our t-shirt sales, which is very, 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 very marginal, and any of the donations all go to pay for hosting. If you like the sound of this microphone that I'm using right now, I pinched and saved and scraped together a bunch of money to buy a Shure SM7B broadcasting microphone. And I've been sharing it with Angela when we do our commentaries, but it would be awesome to get a few donations to buy her a mic that sounds like this. We're always trying to improve Anomaly, make it better, and bring you better content and make the sound quality better. Your donations are very much appreciated and will be used in that way. We use it all for Anomaly. One last thing before I close. We have been nominated for a Parsec Award again this year, and I am putting together sample clips to qualify for the judging. So wish us luck. I don't have a lot of hope to win, but we are up against
Treks in Sci-Fi are, and also Take Him With You. So if we don't win, we hope one of our brother podcasts wins. Just the mere fact that you nominated us is awesome. We very much appreciate that you think that we're worthy of that kind of an award. It's presented at Dragon Con, and we won't be there, but Sue will. And so will a couple of our friends, Mark and Margaret, who you've heard us talk about. And they were even guests on several episodes. So anyway, thank you again. That's going to do it. You can reach us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. You can go to our website, anomalypodcast.com, Twitter, Facebook, like us. I've been blabbing on and on and on for long enough. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great week. Toodles.
Anomaly is created under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives 3.0 license. Say that three times fast.
The specter of war and destruction came in the last months of 2287. And now, we are all that remains, holding the line. This is Captain David Sheridan. God help us all.
Drama based around the hit TV series Babylon 5. Produced by FictionShed.com. Available now on iTunes or www.novo-b.com.
In 2010, a group of intrepid toy fans languished in a soundscape bereft of 3A content. This group promptly escaped from boredom to the internet underground. Today, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you want 3A audio content, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, you should check out the podcast made by the 3A team.
You know, the world where robots probably the favorite stuff of mine. I kind of like the robots over the human figures.
Or, hell yeah!
I figure it's because robots are f***ing cool.
There you go, man. Bingo.
I actually think that kind of sexual. Can you imagine that? That's why I was like, well, it's
unfortunately,
cool.
I just was.
That's kind of fun. It's cheeky. A whole bunch of like 3A fans buck naked in one room, not knowing each other. Just wearing these TK masks. And then it'll be like
tears streaming out the side of them.
Yeah, I went to the store and the lady was like, try that, it's really, really good. And she was kind of cute, so I was like, yeah, okay. And I picked it up. It was not good. It was not good at all.
Eric will put terrible things in his mouth for cute girls. That's cool, he's not alone.
3A Radio, a designer toy podcast. Check us out on iTunes, on Facebook, and at 3aradio.blogspot.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Batchelder. And this is the Saturday B-Movie Reel.
Do something! Shoot it! Shoot it!
That about describes it, yeah.
All right, everybody stay here.
We look specifically at the Sci-Fi Channel's original movies. You know the ones. The ones that air on Saturday night.
Be known throughout the ages as an instant classic.
We need a bigger gator!
Limb cutting, yes. And blood squirting from...
Flying limbs, I called it in my notes.
What could go wrong?
We look on a regular basis at the movies as they come out, and since there have been over 200 of them, we do go back and look at many of them that are now out on DVD. By this point, I had completely forgotten any semblance of seeing if this actually makes any sense from a plot point of view. So come on by, get involved, and have some fun.
Check us out at SaturdayBMovieReel.com.
Our future depends on it. Make it safe.
Sci-Fi Radio Theater, the internet's premier source of original science fiction radio plays, presents the Bagua Tweebox, a sci-fi murder mystery.
Now, what did you want to see me about?
My brother was murdered. I want you to find the killer since the police can't.
This electrifying 8-part series is available now as a podcast on iTunes and on sci-fi-radiotheater.com. New episodes uploaded on Sundays.
You will acquire the Kanyu job.
Set in a futuristic Boston where robots are a part of everyday life, private investigator Otto Vinokainen and his assistant Patricia must investigate the mysterious death of a scientist.
I need some information on the Omar Diaz murder case.
Like I said, the boys are going to think you're into the weird stuff.
Get hooked on the mystery.
What's this? Half of the wall slid open.
Survive the danger.
Initiating destruction sequence. Status initiated.
Oh my god, it's a hyper-neurobomb.
Feel the drama.
We need to stop.
I'll tell you when we need to stop!
Stay for the hot, steamy robot sex.
I am here to act out your every fantasy. Please state fantasy in clear English towards my microphone input unit.
Okay?
The Bagua Tweebox, an original 8-part sci-fi murder mystery radio play podcast from Sci-Fi Radio Theater. Episode 1 and 2 are available now on iTunes and at scifiradiotheater.com. New episodes uploaded on Sundays. Don't miss the adventure for anything.
And hey, you did really good. I'm glad you're on this case.
Aw, thanks!
Ooh, you okay?
I slipped in blood.
Hello, Dan here. Well, you have impeccable taste since you're listening to this wonderful podcast. It's one of my favourites too. If you feel that you could squeeze another show into your regular listening though, why don't you give mine a go? It's called Out of Range, and I talk about the things I love. Everything from geeky TV, classic toys, and brand new technology and gadgets. You may find something you like, or be introduced to something you've never heard of. Search for Out of Range in iTunes, or go to the website at dangelus.com/out of range. I'd love to hear from you. Happy listening.
The Flash Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. Now it's 3 apocalypses in one.
Yeah!
Suffering from tough, stuck-on humans? Well, 20 hellish hours of suffocation in the all-encompassing web of Karwick the Spider God will get them right out. Too many brains lying around? The ravenous mouths surrounding zombie-fighting Ruby will quickly clean those up. Nosy neighbors? Infect them with the murder plague, and watch as they dissolve into paranoid maniacs bent on the preemptive assassination of their friends and family. Why stop at one end of the world when you can have all three? You can find them all at flashpulp.com or search for them on iTunes.
The scene in California's Mojave Desert 5 years ago. Our historic first view of the newcomer's ship. Theirs was a slave ship carrying 250,000 beings bred to adapt and labor in any environment. But they've washed ashore on Earth with no way to get back to where they came from. And in the last 5 years, the newcomers have become the latest addition to the population of Los Angeles.
Alienation, the Newcomers Podcast, is a fan cast devoted to the groundbreaking but short-lived TV series Alien Nation. This series tackles social issues like racism, bigotry, and intolerance with an alien twist. Each month, we will bring you a podcast dedicated to a single episode. The host will give you their thoughts on the episode, as well as some little-known behind-the-scenes information. So please subscribe to Alienation, the Newcomers Podcast on iTunes, or visit our website at alienationpodcast.com.
Have you ever wanted to share something with someone just because?
Well, we do a lot. So we started a podcast about, well, whatever we want. My name is Joyce.
And I'm her lovely husband, Al. Well, you know what I mean. And we're the hosts of the Disneyland podcast, Tales from the Mouse House.
And the Amazing Race podcast. Fast Forward.
And I'm one of the co-hosts of the MASH 4077 podcast. And you'd think with all of these podcasts, we'd run out of things to share. But then you'd be wrong. In our new show, Just Because, we're going to share all the things that, well, just don't fit into any of our other podcasts.
Yep, like videos of our puppy Kate as she plays with the water bottle. Mm-hmm. Maybe some episodes chatting about one of our favorite TV shows.
Like Lost?
Uh-huh. Or maybe an audio play Al has written.
And we'll even have episodes contributed by others who have something to share but just don't want to start their own podcast. You never know what you'll find on this show. Why?
Just because. Visit us at justbecausepodcast.com and
in iTunes.
Just because. Why is a Victorian bicycle possibly Hartnell's best moment?
How are the Crotons an emotional linchpin of Doctor Who?
I'm going to take the test. I can't let you go in there alone.
Why was the Third Doctor having an affair with a color-changing hussy?
No, no, Brigadier, you'll damage my car.
How many rules of science and common sense did the invisible enemy violate?
We'll be reduced to micro-dimensions. You then scoop us both up and eject us into my master print there.
Was ousting Harriet Jones the Doctor's biggest mistake?
Six words.
Stop it.
Six.
How did the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe's physics-defying teaser actually have a precedent in the Who universe?
Come here, spacesuit! Come here, Doctor!
To find out the answers to these questions, and many more, join us for Under the Miniscope, a weekly Doctor Who podcast in bite-sized chunks.
I prefer fun size.
From the husband and wife team of Andrew.
And Sarah.
Gilbertson.
We'll review classic serials.
Discuss new episodes.
List favorite trends.
Whatever's on our mind.
You can find us at www.nolinecinemas.com.
So come on by each week and hear which part of Doctor Who's nearly 50-year saga that we've got
under the miniscope.
A miniscope? Now this is outrageous. Now let me warn you that I intend to put an end to this shameful business. I couldn't escape now if I wanted to. They've trapped me here.
Do you remember playing great PC games like King's Quest, Command & Conquer, and X-Wing? Do you remember spending hours tweaking your config sys and autoexec bat files to eke out just one more K of conventional memory? If you do, then you may be interested in my show, The Upper Memory Block. Every 2 weeks, we talk in-depth about a game, game series, company, or technology from the DOS and pre-Windows XP gaming era. We'll discuss the story, gameplay, and technology of the games of the time. But more importantly, we're going to focus on what made each game special, interesting stories from their development, and how they shaped what PC gaming is today. If you remember gaming in the late 80s and early 90s, or you're interested in finding out more about it, come join your host Joe in the Upper Memory Block. That's the Upper Memory Block podcast at umbcast.com, or find it on iTunes.
Hello there, my name is Med.
And this is David Frost.
You're not David Frost.
All right, I mean, this is Mark.
And we are the present... Mark?
All right, get on with it.
Okay. And we're the presenters of Waffle On Podcast. And we like to talk about...
crap.
TV broadcast between 1960 to 1999. Would you say it's crap?
Some of it.
Really?
Especially the British stuff. But we've already had a podcast about that, so let's move on from that.
Unbelievable. You can find us at http://... waffleon.podbean.com. Do not smile when I say the word colon.
Oh, I'm not.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
Hello, I'm Greg, host of a podcast called Inappropriate Conversations. The show is breaking down barriers about discussing politics, sex, and religion. Society says we should keep them separated. I say come out and play. You'll find Inappropriate Conversations on iTunes in the politics section or at inappropriateconversations.podbean.com. Thanks for listening.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Hi, this is Rick.
And this is Amy, and we are the hosts of Take Him With You,
the weekly podcast where we discuss life at the geeky Moyers home, and then we talk about our faith and how it relates to the world around us. As a matter of fact, we love listening to the Anomaly podcast. It's way cool. Jen and Angela, you guys are just awesome. Or girls, I guess. They're girls, aren't they?
Yeah, and I appreciate geeky girls because I'm a rather geeky girl myself.
I wouldn't be married to you if you weren't.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I love Star Trek and heavy metal music and fun things like that.
I like reading and home and garden TV and quiet things, soft music.
Too bad.
Yeah.
But we do live together, and we have for almost 24 years.
Yep.
We're married.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a chance, come take a listen to our very fun weekly podcast. You can find us on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And
it's at takehimwithyou.com.
Yes, you're doing very well, honey. Keep going.
Okay, that's all it says. You can find us at takehimwithyou.com.
Or you can get us on iTunes as well. So okay. Do that. And thanks again, Jen and Angela, for your great podcast. Hopefully everybody will come check out Take Him With You after that.